say we're at the beach, I'd rather be standing next to, I don't know, John Goodman.
Yeah.
Than, I don't know, Jason Statham. No.
Yeah.
Like, just no. No, I always want to stand next to Jason Statham. I'm sorry. I don't care how I look.
It's not going to reflect on
no.
you.
No.
Yeah, you don't care.
I just want to stand in a position where I can see.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? I don't care.
They also say dad bods are better for cuddling. No one wants to cuddle with a rock.
Excuse me, I want to cuddle with a rock. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so in honor of Father's Day,
yes.
We're going to be peppering some father-esque. segments.
Some paternal stuff will be peppered in just for your enjoyment.
For your enjoyment.
I'd like to kick it off with some advice that was sent from our listener, Michael F.
Nice! I think this is the last of the five pack.
Oh, this is amazing. Michael F. Did us a huge favor and sent us links to advice that
was a bunch of pieces of advice that we have been using each one for an episode. I think this might be the last one.
It might be.
So then this is on theme.
Yes. So, oh boy. Put on your seatbelts and helmets.
And helmets. Strap those on.
And wrist guards.
Yep. Wrist guards, huh? Is that dangerous?
Yes. Dear Annie, our 39-year-old son is married with 3 children. Ever since he got married, he has been dealing with overbearing and intrusive in-laws.
Okay.
My son and daughter-in-law were house hunting a few years ago, and there was a home going up for auction they wanted to check out. They mentioned it to her parents in her parents' company. Before the auction took place, her father, Steve, that's in quotes.
Okay.
It's a fake name.
You know Steve.
Had purchased the home for them to live in.
Why?
They might not have purchased the house after seeing it, as it was termite infested, had no working fireplaces, and had a roof that needed replacing.
Wow.
They used the money they made selling their previous home for upgrades for this home. Steve would not allow them to secure a loan for the home to pay him back, so the house remains in his name.
Why? Why did they go along with it?
Our son,
I would have been like, congratulations, Steve, you got yourself a house.
Yeah. Our son has a job which he can support his family, a great head on his shoulders to make great family decisions, and good credit so he can get loans at the bank on his own without any help. His wife goes along with whatever her parents say and want her to do.
Mm-hmm.
It is causing strife in our son's marriage, plus it's putting a strain on our relationship with our daughter-in-law. And
on she's a doormat.
And on some occasions, we have not been allowed to visit. My husband and I support a loving family relationship, and when asked for advice on family matters, we give it.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not interfere to her parents' degree, because neither of us was raised that way.
Yeah, and you sound just like really conscientious people who are willing to let other people make decisions for themselves, since they're adults.
Yes. The issue now is that our son's job is relocating him to a different state.
Mm-hmm.
His employer will allow him time to visit his new job location and look for housing. My son secured a realtor in the area to start the house hunting process. My daughter-in-law started looking for online at homes in the city. She found a home that she likes online and told my son she wanted it because it had the right amenities. He insisted that they wait till they could look at the house in person.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. And why would you ever buy a house online?
And find one that really meets all their needs. So, good school district,
et cetera. But also, you need to go into the place physically.
Yes. Right? Our son notified us today that Steve purchased the home our daughter-in-law found online, sight unseen, for them to live in.
Wow.
This behavior is not allowing our son to be a husband, partner in decision-making, and father to his children. Steve grants all of his daughter's wishes. We want to support our son because we know he's hurting, but what advice would you recommend we give him in this troubling time?
This is a tough one. I mean, the husband kind of made the mistake of not putting his foot down the first time it happened.
The first house that they bought.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like that's the thing in not just a marriage, but any kind of relationship, is that if you let something go, that's a signal to your partner or friend or your, you know, business associate, colleague, whoever you're dealing with, that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they think that it wouldn't be okay a second time?
Right.
Right?
Right. So every time they look at a house, it gets purchased for them.
Mm-hmm. But there's also something else going on here, that the daughter is going behind her husband's back,
yeah,
and getting what she wants from her father, which she's probably been doing her whole life, which is a problem, I think. Because they should be making these decisions together. It doesn't matter if Steve, quote unquote, is buying it. It's the wife and the husband together as a partnership,
yeah, right,
should
or
be
not
okay with this property.
Right. Right, exactly. But that's like a big ticket. Like,
it's a huge... We have... my husband and I, we don't have any big rules about it, but we're like, if it's something really big, then we should talk to each other first. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like, even if I'm just going to buy, like, I'm going to get a new laptop, maybe it's going to be a couple of grand. I'm like, you know what? This is, let's talk about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a house?
Yeah.
Like, definitely. Right?
Right. Right. It seems like it. I know. But the idea that this guy's got enough money that he's, like, dropping it on houses whenever the daughter says, I like that house. It's but, like, it's yours.
Here you go. Bang! Yeah. Ponies in the backyard.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing because I feel like I was saying with the computer, I'm buying it myself, but I consider it to kind of be community property in a way. So why not discuss it with somebody?
Yeah. I guess this guy married Veruca Salt.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll blow up and float away.
Yeah.
What happened to Veruca Salt at the end of that movie? She doesn't show up at the end, does she?
Oh, yeah, she gets de-juiced and she shows up, she's purple.
She gets cleansed.
Yeah. Okay, so the advice is, dear concerned, wow, I had to pick my jaw up off the floor a couple of times while reading your letter.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what Steve's financial situation must be like to give away houses like candy, but I digress.
Yeah.
You're right that this daddy-to-the-rescue dynamic is not conducive to a healthy marriage. But from the sound of it, your son hasn't expressed any of these frustrations to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The lack of communication is even more toxic than intrusive in-laws. Marriage counseling would offer him a safe space to express his feelings to his wife. And given that she's grown up thinking that dad's behavior is normal, it might take an objective third party to help her see that it's not.
Well, it's not just dad's behavior. It's the idea that she saw something she wanted that was going to be for their family.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having a discussion with her husband, she just went out and got it.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter who paid for it.
Right.
She just went out and got it. It was like, I've decided this is the house that we're living in.
Yeah. This is it. I talked to my father, and this is what we're doing.
This is what we're doing. It's like, no,
yeah,
really?
It's going to be a lifetime of whatever she wants with her father's wallet.
And the children and the husband probably won't be considered in this at all. Because if the parents haven't looked at this, because they have kids, right? If the parents haven't looked at this and talked about it together, how do they know it's the right thing for their children?
Mm-hmm.
Or she's just making all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
That is weird.
Wow. That's terrible.
But wow, houses.
Yeah, houses.
It's not even like, I don't know, like I want this new refrigerator.
Yeah, it's a couple of things I have a problem with. Like, how can you buy a house on the internet?
Yeah.
Without going to check it out? You saw the first one was termite infested and they had to use money to fix it up.
What is it with the father that he's like, whatever you say.
He must have so much money that he's just like, okay, here it is. I've bought it. Like, maybe he's not even looking at it.
Or he doesn't care. He's tired of her.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, you know, I don't even want to deal with her. So, yes.
Here's $100,000.
Yes.
Here, get it. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
Next.
Go.
I'm sure it's fine. It's a house.
You said you
looked at it.
You're not even really my daughter.
Yes. You're not really my daughter.
You're the mailman's daughter. And I've been a good father, so here's some money.
I wonder what the real daughter gets.
Yeah.
I like that. So I have something here. I found this. We love to do advice, the segment we just did. We find advice on the internet that stinks. Or
it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. So I thought, what if we wanted to actually become advice columnists?
Oh, yeah.
So I did a little research on this. It says, how can I become an advice columnist? I found this on some website for students, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if people are in their, like, junior year of college, you're like, oh, what can I do? Maybe I can become an advice columnist. So the average salary for an advice columnist, first of all, is $52,000.
Oh.
It's not bad, considering they're not working full-time.
That's true.
They're not working full-time. It says, if you're someone who loves to give advice, that's
us,
and knows something about something.
Yeah, again. With our two brains together.
Yeah, and if you're almost always right.
Well,
we're almost always right a lot of the times. Why shouldn't you be paid for your expertise? Good question. All you need to do is be able to write pithy responses or speak them aloud, as we do. We don't do any writing here. To people who have enough free time on their hands to actually sit down and write a letter asking a total stranger for life advice. Mm-hmm. So in order to become an advice columnist, what we need to do is we need to create a persona, a gimmick. Okay. I feel like we have that already.
Yeah.
Jaquetta and Katie from Hey You Know It.
We're personas.
Yeah. So it says, no, personas.
We are personas.
We personify personas. It says, no one wants to read or heed advice from Plain Jane or Joe Schmo. So you have to be smart and sassy and come up with a name like E. Jean Carroll.
They say that?
Yes, E. Jean Carroll. She's one of the best.
Yes.
So it says here, the two women who created the career of being an advice columnist, their names are still synonymous with doling out the advice. So it's Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren. So these names, I didn't realize, get passed down.
Yes, yes, yes.
You knew? I didn't know this. Those are their pen names. In real life, the Friedman sisters, Esther Pauline and Pauline Esther, those are their real names. Mm-hmm. Esther Pauline and Pauline Esther.
Oh, you're kidding. They're sisters?
They're sisters. They were twins. Why would you do that?
That's really
bad. They were inseparable until they let their competitive spirit get out of hand and pull them apart. So there's beef here.
Okay.
Esther Pauline, called Epi, got a job taking over for Ann Landers mm-hmm. in the Chicago Sun-Times. And then 3 months later, Pauline Esther, a.k.a. Popo, adopted the pen name Abigail Van Buren and began writing her own column known as Dear Abby.
Get out.
So Pauline Esther and Esther Pauline
are sisters mm-hmm. with mirror names.
Twin sisters with mirror names who went head-to-head in the advice column game.
I love this.
The sisters, surprise, surprise, stopped talking to each other.
Yeah.
And instead turned their voices to the thousands of people who wrote to their nationally syndicated columns for sassy, no-nonsense advice. So both sisters passed away. Dear Abby is still running. It was taken over by Popo's daughter, Jean Phillips, who writes the column now.
And then Phillips Jean.
Yes, Phillips Jean. Her nemesis. Like we should do that column, Phillips Jean.
Yeah.
Phillips Jean's advice. Neither Epi nor Popo had a psych degree. They weren't experts, but they were just good writers who gave their two cents to people who wrote for them. So basically, if you want to be an advice columnist, then go do it. Just be one. The minute you purport to have the answers to life's burning, bothersome questions, you'll be getting more letters from strangers than you know. So, like, just find a publication, either online, could be your local, you know, Riverdale Press, mm-hmm. and just start writing advice. That's all you have to do. Phillips Jean. That's what I'm going as.
Oh.
Phillips Jean.
Phillips
Jean. Yeah. Or Philip Jeans. It's Jean Phillips. So maybe Philip Jeans.
Yes.
Fill up these jeans.
Yeah.
That's going to be my advice column. I had no idea that there was beef.
Remember, everyone, fill up those jeans.
Yeah, fill up these jeans. All right, what do you have?
Oh, God. I have Tales from the Campfire. Oh,
Tales from the Campfire is my favorite segment where we find tales on the internet of fake lore, folklore, mystery, paranormal stories, horror tales.
Ghosts and such, and we tell them here around the digital campfire.
Yeah, so gather around.
Gather around, listeners.
Is this dad related?
It's dad related.
Okay.
How can I not read this one? It's called My Father's First Experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
It's family podcast, people. Yeah. If there are children in the room.
This occurred in Indiana.
Okay.
Open the curtain.
Yes.
Okay. Though my father has experienced a lot of activity in his life, this is the first...
really? Around.
This is
Aluga. A lot of activity, huh? Wow.
This is the first one he ever told me about. This one is fairly short.
This person just knows dad's seen a lot of action.
Yeah.
This is the first story that he broke them off for.
And I tend to forget it in contrast to his other experiences. In the small town he lives in, there is only so many jobs teenagers could get. Fast mm-hmm. food, serving, factory, which have since all almost closed.
Okay. The fast food's gone? Damn, Indiana.
Yeah. Or the theater in town.
The theater?
The theater.
Okay.
The theater... I will leave out the name for privacy's sake.
Okay. Treading the boards.
Was built in 1906 as an opera house. It's quite old and elaborate. Okay. Just an elaborate
theater. It's quite elaborate.
That elaborate theater.
Yeah.
As well as being fairly large. It is 4 stories tall, many rooms, and even still has balconies on the side walls of the theater where people used to watch the opera performances.
That sounds like a really nice theater house.
It does.
Yeah.
It's an opera house.
Yeah, that's cool.
He did a little bit of everything there, from tickets to maintenance in a building that old.
Did the Rigoletto once when someone didn't show up. He's a Mikado.
In a building that old, maintenance is a daily chore. There was always a feeling of being watched while in the building. Not menacing, mind you, but a feeling of curiosity, as though someone was trying to figure out where you fit in.
Like a critic?
Yeah. What are you bringing to this role?
Yes, faster and more intensity, please.
Right, there's the critic in the...
Yes. This isn't believable. Do you even believe you're there?
Do you even know what the words are that you're saying?
Yes.
Do you know what that means?
Do you have a motivation?
Yeah. It was not necessarily friendly, but not mean either, if that makes any sense. No,
okay.
One day, one of his chores was to repaint the banisters all the way up to the upper floors. Not a terribly difficult job, and my father set to it. As he worked his way up the stairs, he began to get a feeling he was being observed.
Hold the work. Hold the work.
Hold work. I'm being observed.
Yes.
Though no one was around him. He never saw anything, but he began to hear whispers coming from the landing above him.
This guy's an amateur.
He's painting the scenery.
Yes.
Instead of chewing the scenery. Yes. So he heard the voices, which he could clearly see was vacant. He remembers them saying, "What is he doing? And why is he doing that?"
He's destroying the narrative. Right. Have you heard of the term Meisner? Okay, just keep working.
The voices sounded annoyed with him painting the banisters and also a bit curious, as though they cannot figure out why someone would do that.
Oh, like, is this the piece? Has it started?
Yeah.
Oh, are we too early?
This is part of the show.
Yeah.
A lot of the whispers were too low to be understood, but they got louder the farther up he went. He finished his job quickly and left for the night. He still felt watched after that experience. Well,
don't
of course
quit
he's
your...
in a theater.
Yes. Don't quit your day job.
I don't think he's ever gone to the theater to watch a movie in quite a long time.
I have never been in a theater and not had the feeling of... So, like, even when you're doing rehearsals, say you get there early, you just want to get up and walk on the stage. So, like, you feel like you're being watched because you're in a theater.
Yeah.
And that's what people do in the theater. I mean, he was on the stage.
Yeah. I think, it's probably,
Makes
the energy
sense.
That's in the theater.
Yeah.
You're being watched.
And there's all these seats out there. I mean, I don't know.
Well, my favorite celebrity ghost story.
Oh, no. Is that show still on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it was really great. It was Anna Gasteyer from Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Well, she was actually in a road production of Wicked, and she played, what's her name?
Elphelba. Okay.
And in the one scene, Elphelba is on wires, and she's in the air, and she's singing Defying Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So she said she was in this theater. It was somewhere in middle of America, and
she's
up there
landlocked.
Singing. And she looks, she's down, and she could see the wings, and there were these kids standing there, and they were in, like, period dress. And they were looking at her.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I don't like
and
that.
And she was like singing and like looking
that musical's
over.
That musical's bad enough without those creepy kids in the wings.
There was no reason for anyone to be dressed like that in that
no.
theater. That's the thing. It's like, but she saw
they dressed from our town.
And they're looking at her like, yeah.
Right. Like, what the hell? Am I singing the wrong thing?
Yeah. It's our town supposed to be on.
God. Did you see Wicked?
Yes.
I went to see it, and I was like, this is terrible. I did not like the music. I didn't like the way that was sung. And I was in the front row, so I was just looking up everyone's clothes the whole time. I was too close.
Woo-hoo!
I know, but I love the book.
Yeah.
And I thought they were going to do more of the book kind of stuff. I know it's interesting. Wicked. I wonder, because you know when you're a little girl, a musical always comes out. And depending on what kind of little girl you are, you attach yourself to that musical. Mm-hmm. I wonder what little girls attach themselves to that musical and what other little girls were like, those guys are lame.
Right.
Because there's,
right.
I mean? There's always, I'm trying to think of what it was when I think it was like Annie was out, and there were some people who really liked Annie, and they were all obnoxious.
They were all very obnoxious. They would sing like that. Any song that they sang was, Fist Set Signs.
Mm-hmm. It was nasal.
Sing now.
That's how I felt about Wicked.
Yeah.
I was like, can people stop singing out of their noses?
Yeah.
Like, I know you're a witch.
It was so big when we were kids, Annie.
Annie was huge. Yeah. Absolutely huge.
Got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair. To all that was 40th Street. #BunkLifeNYC.
When I was in we had a talent show when I was in grammar school.
I'm laughing already because this is going to be a story.
We were singing a medley from Annie. I was one of the orphans.
Medley with kids. Okay, I love it.
Yeah.
Your parents just like, oh, for this love of sweet.
Yeah, we were singing Hard Knock Life.
Oh.
But one of the girls was actually in Annie at the time. She was one of the orphans.
Okay, right? Yeah, because you live in New Jersey.
Right, so she was a real orphan. Broadway orphan.
Yeah, Broadway orphan.
From Annie.
She played an orphan on television.
Yeah, so she wasn't Annie. She was one of the, you know.
Did she get to be Annie in your production?
Oh, she was Annie.
Okay.
At school.
She's like, I'll do it here if I can't do it anywhere else.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And she gave
she
it
She belted it out. 50%. She put on four noses and sang through them. Through a megaphone.
But however, she was acting in a way that was not appreciated by the director of the show and told her, I don't care, you're on Broadway.
This ain't Broadway, lady.
This ain't Broadway.
I'll give your part to one Katie Kazner. You're like, huh, what, me? No, we're just kidding. Oh.
Oh, yeah, she gets to go on.
Yeah.
But there's no way in hell, Katie, you're singing. We heard you.
We did a production when I was a kid of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And I didn't want anything to do with it at all. It was like a little musical number. And they were like, well, what part do you want? So I got to be Sneezy.
Oh, that's
because
not
that got a laugh.
Yeah.
And man, I chewed up. There was nothing left on stage when I was done.
Yeah,
I took like a minute to sneeze. There was a lot of inhaling.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, out and that kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like
from the forest.
Yeah, it was a really big scene for me.
And the handkerchief that floated out.
Yep, it was everything. Yeah, okay. And I just remember other people in the production being like, really? You have one line. It's not even a word. Just do
it's
it.
A noise.
Just deliver it and then fade into the background where you were.
Where you belong.
Where you belong.
Background.
As a swing in the back. Yeah. All right. So I found some penis news.
All right.
This is a segment that I like to do where I report on dicks in the news, scrotum stories, all the kinds of stuff. There hasn't been a lot of stuff out there lately. And I just wanted to bring this up. King's College in London, they are looking for volunteers for a study that revolves around penises and penis rings. They're looking for gents in committed relationships who don't mind slipping a variety of rings onto their penis to measure the relationship between satisfaction and depth of penetration during sex. So the study is called, this is the longest study ever, Am I Normal? Investigating the Relationship Between Penis Length and Sexual Satisfaction. It rolls off the tongue.
Yes.
So they're looking for straight couples that have been in a relationship for more than 6 months. And who have intercourse at least twice a week, or who will have intercourse at least twice a week, I guess. Like, for the study. Couples will be required to have intercourse.
Okay.
I don't know how they claw back, like, if they don't have it, or they monitor it, whilst using a penile ring, which limits the depth of penetration. So usually these rings are to aid in, if you have erectile dysfunction, or you want to stay stiff longer.
Right.
But they're using these as, like, a measurement. So it's like just the tip, just a little more than the tip.
Oh.
Half full Monty.
Okay.
So that's where the ring is. So you're supposed to put it at a certain point on your member to stop it, I guess, from going any further. I don't know if an alarm goes off or what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to put several on at a time. Like this is.
Well, I think I'm not sure if you put several on at a time or you start off with one.
Mm-hmm.
How frustrating, right? Then you go for another one. They have to measure it before they issue a ring that's specifically for the gentleman's Johnson.
Okay.
And then they put it on. They are multiple rings, and then they will inform the men when to swap the ring. I don't know if there's a side coach going on or how.
Yeah. This guy comes out. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
But it's time.
We need
according to my calculations,
to switch the ring.
To take the ring out.
Put on number four. It says the maximum sexual encounters required for the project are 20. But we expect most couples to finish in 6 weeks, presuming that they do intercourse twice a week, which doesn't even add up.
Does not add
That's
up.
That's 12. Like, but they're saying max 20 is what they want. But somehow that's going to take place twice
a week. 12 to 20.
12 to 20.
Okay.
So they're trying to find out what, you know, they're trying to see the relationship between depth and pleasure to make lives better,
mm-hmm.
I guess, for the dudes and their partners. So bizarre. So I don't know if they found people to do this study. It's weird.
It is a weird
Can't
study.
Can't they just infer by asking women?
Yeah. Because the women's going to answer.
Like, yeah,
I'll tell
you. We know.
Yeah.
Like, we can tell you. I don't know. Bizarre. So, yeah, they're doing a penis ring study. Usually we report on rings getting stuck on people. These are people who are volunteering to have rings put on them to see how it's going to go. So that's the penis news.
All right.
All right, what do you have?
Well, another thing about fathers.
Okay.
You can't go, you can't swing a father around. I don't know what that means.
You can't swing a dead father? Is that what you're saying without hitting something?
Yeah, I forget I said
no?
That.
Okay.
All right. Hey. With Father's Day, let's talk about the dad bod.
Okay. This is the weirdest thing to me, the dad bod. I think that's a bad thing, right?
Well, it depends on who's talking.
Because I see a lot of dads, I don't know if this is something I'm just noticing as I'm getting older, who all, like, the woman is looks like she's a couple months pregnant, and she is, as does the dad.
Yes, yes, yes.
And dudes are wearing shirts. I feel like our father's generations, they had the shirt cut big in the front.
Yeah.
You know, if you were really a big guy back then, you would rock a Hawaiian shirt or button down so that there's a lot of extra room in the front. A lot of guys are wearing shirts that are, like, tight.
Yeah, they're pretending.
In the wrong area. Yeah.
But a dad bod is a male body type that's best described as softly round.
Ew.
It's built
softly round?
It's built upon the theory that once a man has found a mate and fathered a child, he doesn't need to worry about maintaining a sculpted physique.
Was it sculpted in the first place, gentlemen? Let's be real.
Yes, that's the thing.
That's just an excuse. They came in like that. Now they're saying it's a dad bod.
Yeah. If human bodies were cuts of meat, the dad bod would skew more marbled ribeye than filet mignon.
Ooh. I don't eat meat, but that doesn't sound good.
If it more like a grazing manatee than a speedy dolphin.
Okay, you know what? Sold. Now I know exactly what you're talking about. Are you kidding
me? More soft serve than sorbet.
Stop. More soft serve than sorbet.
More mashed potato than skinny fry.
Wow.
A dad bod is built for comfort.
It's less Marky Mark and more Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Having a dad bod is a nice balance between working out and keeping a beer gut.
It doesn't sound like it is.
Like Chris Pratt, he had a dad bod before Guardians of the Galaxy.
And when?
When he was on Parks and Recreation.
He was just chubby.
Yeah. He wasn't even a dad then.
How is that a dad bod, though?
But that is a dad bod.
But wait, hold on. His character was quite young and was not a dad.
Yeah.
But somehow he could have a dad bod without being a dad?
Yes. Amazing. That's what they're saying. They're saying a chunky guy. And there's a new book out. It claims that being a pudgy dad makes men healthier and appear more attractive.
To who?
And likely to live longer. Yeah.
Nobody thinks that.
Nobody thinks that, yes.
No one thinks that at all. This is the problem with Hollywood. They have set up this thing whereby there's a lot of movies where a young hot girl, a babysitter, or a college student is interested in a dad.
Yes.
But they don't have the sense to make it real. Because when you're an 18-year-old girl or 21-year-old woman, and you're looking at someone who's maybe a father, you still want him to look like Marky Mark in Transformers.
Yeah.
Right? You're not looking for pudgy. Why would you be?
Right, right, right.
Nobody is looking for that in a dude.
Well, they say that one effect of the dad bod is you having more fat on you, lower levels of testosterone.
Great. fantastic. Sign me up for that. Where can I find that? Lower levels of testosterone? Don't dudes hate that?
It increases survivorship. Hypothetically, they're more likely like to stay home and raise their family. Because they're not as interested in,
In life?
Yeah.
That's okay. Are you kidding me?
Well, so they went to 100 women.
Okay. Who's 100 woman? The sage. I am 100 woman. What questions have you for me? Is it about the dad bod? I say no. 100 woman has spoken. Okay, so they went to 100 women. Yeah. By the way, they could have asked thousands of women. This is a very simple survey, right?
Anyway, they said, okay, so out of 100, I would only go after guys with dad bods, says 15 of them.
That's not many.
Sure, why not?
Because they don't think they're going to move off the couch and go find another woman.
Yeah.
And they don't want to have sex, apparently, because they have no testosterone.
Yeah, right.
Great. They will raise all the kids that you had with someone else, though.
Yeah.
So
sure, why not, says 23. Maybe.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, once again, for a woman, sure, why not means I don't want to, but I don't want to be rude in this survey.
And then 24 women say maybe, but it's not something I'm looking for. And 38 say absolutely not.
Hell to the no. Was that one of the choices?
Yeah. So while 50% of women are indifferent, only 15% exclusively date men with a dad bod.
I don't even know what to say.
And 38 would want their guy in tip-top shape. So,
I think it depends on what you grew up with. Like, my dad was, you know, basically had the body of a pro athlete my entire life. He swam, he played tennis, he was really fit. So my idea of a dad bod is a dude with a six pack and tennis shorts that are a little too revealing for my taste. Like that, you know, maybe a mesh shirt, Diadora. Yeah. You know?
Well, so some women are saying things like, I care more about personality than looks.
Yeah.
And if you're not super buff, you probably have interests outside in working out and yourself.
Okay. I think I'm more into someone who just looks healthy.
Yeah.
That's all.
Somebody who's, if you're lazy with a dad bod, no thank you. But if you have a dad bod and you're into fitness and healthy lifestyle, then okay. Like, you can be pudgy but still, like, work out.
I guess I'm not clear on what this dad bod is, because I feel like if you're an active person, then you just have, like, an average body for whatever your body type is, right? Whereas but they're saying if you have a dad bod and you don't work out, that's not okay. But if you have a dad bod and you do work out, that's okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wonder how dudes feel about it.
Well, it's like, I guess it allows them to, you know, eat whatever they want.
But weren't they doing it anyway? I don't remember everybody's dad being buff as shit.
Yeah.
They've always been kind of shapeless.
All right. It says here, a dad bod is a nice balance between a beer gut and working out. I go to the gym occasionally. It says, a dad bod says. I go to the gym occasionally, and I also drink heavily on the weekends and enjoy eating 8 slices of pizza at a time.
Ooh. Dad bod says that? 100 woman says no. 100 woman says cut back on those slices.
It's not an overweight guy, but it isn't one with washboard abs either.
Okay, there's a lot in between. Interesting, okay.
The dad bod
is regular guy.
Yeah, dad bod is a new trend, and fraternity boys everywhere are rejoicing.
Why?
Because then they can drink their beer and
okay. You know who's rejoicing even harder? The guy with the 8-pack who's in the frat, who's like, ladies, situation. Yeah. Guys on the Jersey Shore are, like, promoting dad bods to non-Jersey Shore guys and bring us your 100 woman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because, like, the guys in New Jersey, I feel like they get buff. That's, like, their thing.
Well, here's the thing about if you're with a guy with a dad bod. First, some women say they don't intimidate us. So if you're standing next to a guy who intimidate. Looks like that. It's like, if you're both in bathing suits and you look good and he looks worse, then you look better.
No. I'm not looking at me. Like, I don't care what I look like.
Yeah, the guy, you'll put a guy that's a little overweight next to you and you feel great.
No, I don't. I feel the same.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Mmm, box of wine.
Okay, and they say, okay.
So you're saying, like, say we're at the beach. I'd rather be standing next to, I don't know, John Goodman than... I don't know. Jason Statham? No.
Yeah.
Like, just no. No. I always want to stand next to Jason Statham. I'm sorry. I don't care how I look.
It's not going to reflect on
no.
you.
No.
Yeah, you don't care.
I just want to stand in a position where I can see.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? I don't care.
They also say dad bods are better for cuddling. No one wants to cuddle with a rock.
Excuse me. I want to cuddle with a rock.
Yeah. I want to cuddle with the rock.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So do you want to stand next to and cuddle the rock? Or are you looking more for... I don't know. Who is a dad bod?
Kevin James.
Out there?
Oh, that's...
Or Kevin James.
Oh, he's... Wait, he's no... He's,
that's not dad bod?
No, he's okay. Too overweight.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that. I thought he slimmed down a little bit, going into dad bod territory. Wow.
You know, at least he's going to eat food.
At least he's going to eat food. Is that a concern for women?
I know.
I'm concerned that my man is eating enough food. He's got a 12-pack, and I look terrible standing next to him. This is ridiculous.
He doesn't need meal prep every Sunday night. So if you want to go to Taco Tuesdays or $4 Pitcher Wednesdays, he'll be totally down. He's not scared of a cheat meal.
Oh, sorry. That's for me as 100 woman?
Yeah.
Because I am all about Taco Tuesdays and $4 pitchers, and I'm concerned that my man might not go.
Yeah.
I don't understand who, again, 100 women says no. I don't understand who this is, who's saying this? Who is this for?
Oh, here's the last thing.
Okay.
At least you know what you're getting. So if you're, if you get, to picture your future together with your guys early on. Therefore, if he already has a dad bod going on, you can get used to it when we date and marry him and have three kids. We know what we're getting into when he's got the same exact body type at 22 that he will have at 45.
No, because that's not how it goes.
That's not how it goes.
It's body is downhill for everybody.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. You age. When you're young, you're even when you're young and you're a little overweight, mm-hmm. you still look better than you will when you're older and fit, I think.
Yes.
Because the body is new.
Yeah.
Once that body's been dragging its ass around the earth for a couple of decades, I don't care how thin and fit you are, it's going to look pretty chapped.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, things are not going to be fresh.
Yeah.
You know, scaffolding is needed.
This is all propaganda.
Yeah.
So guys don't have to do anything.
Just don't do anything. A lot of women don't care anyway. Maybe it's, I'm thinking maybe, and gentlemen, you can let us know, is it guys that have a problem? Because I don't think women have a problem.
No.
With this.
No.
So maybe this is to help, like, you know, if you are a 20-year-old frat dude, why would you want to describe your body as dad? I mean, when I was, you know, in my early 20s, my late teens, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to describe my body as a mom body.
Right. And there is
would
no,
you?
And would you even say, oh,
what is a mom body? I have no idea what that is. You know, what is a mom bod? Big tits?
And if you start calling somebody you have a mom bod?
I mean, there's mom jeans that we know those are not a good thing.
No, not at all.
You know,
I once, my grandmother's boyfriend, get this, they were like, he's in his late 70s. I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I walked by, he's like, God, you have a body like your grandmother. I almost.
You were in your 20s? You're probably like, did you throw to the ground whatever you were eating?
I was just like.
And just start running in place.
I know what he meant. We had the same.
Body type.
But. When someone tells you, you got a body like your grandmother.
What's he like, see me in 40 years? See me after the millennium.
Yeah.
A dad bod. I don't know.
No mom bods, because you will get punched.
Yeah. Mom bod? That doesn't even make sense. Yeah. Oh, bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. So I have a little bit of robot news here. Apparently, people have been attacking robots.
What?
It says, as robots begin to appear on sidewalks and streets,
right.
Poof.
Yes.
They're being hazed and bullied.
Good.
First of all, I don't think you can put bully and haze for a toaster. Like, you cannot haze a microphone. You cannot haze, you know, a robot. It's not going to happen.
But they're eliciting this kind of reaction.
Yeah. Last week, a drunken man allegedly, I don't know whether he did it or not, tipped over a 300-pound security robot in Mountain View, California. Just knocked it over. He was probably like, I love you, man. Oh, man, what happened?
Oh, no.
Shit. The incident kicked off a spree of cheeky only in 2017 headlines. Armless robot loses fight to drunk man, security robot beat up in parking lot, police say. If a robot is getting hassled in the heart of Silicon Valley, what happens when these machines venture outside? So we found out a couple of years ago. Remember those really nice Canadians let their robot travel across Canada, and then it came to the U.S. It got to Philly. They beat the shit out of it. Like, they graffitied it. Like, they destroyed it. But they're saying now it's a problem because as more and more robots become, you know, a part of our daily lives, people are going to start attacking them. They're saying pranksters are going to probably pick on the robots, and then workers whose jobs may be imperiled due to the machines will have their own frustrations to let out and will attack the robots, which I predict. If I was picking fruit, then the next day I show up and there's a robot, guess what? I come back with a baseball bat.
Yeah, right.
And they're saying that the robots they can't protect themselves and they can't hurt humans. All they can do is, like, take a picture of you.
Okay.
So I'm saying wear a mask.
Yes.
Like, basically.
Yes.
You know, because you don't know where the eye is on a robot. So if you're going to attack a robot, a balaclava or a Nixon mask.
Right.
So they're saying that they're concerned about what they're going to be doing because they're going to put these robots. Apparently, they're already in shopping centers to make shopping centers safe. I didn't know shopping centers were dangerous. I don't really go to the mall that much, but it's never struck me as a place where I'd be afraid.
Well, it's a kind of a thing where what goes on at a shopping mall? There's a lot of shoplifting.
But I mean, that doesn't personally affect me.
Yeah.
Like, these robots are supposed to be keeping, they're saying they're keeping us safe, the shoppers.
Well, then there's the teenagers that are hooligans.
Yeah.
Running around or causing havoc.
In the malls?
Yeah,
still?
Sure.
Okay, I thought they were all online by now, looking at porn. But I guess some of them are still going outside.
I know, right?
And going to the mall. So they're going to be at shopping centers, hospitals, and corporate campuses. So they're just saying that people are starting to attack robots, and they're not sure what they're going to do about it. I think that if you put things like that on the street, I mean, these are really sophisticated and cool pieces of electronics. Yeah, people are going to fuck with them. I think more so than bullying or, as they say, hazing or destroying the robot. People probably just take them home.
Right.
I think somebody would just throw a sack over it, and take it home, and then hook it up to, like, do something cool in the house.
I once suggested to somebody that I work for, you know, I said, why don't you get a robot with a screen? And then you can have it at the warehouse, and it can roll around the warehouse, and then you can walk around and inspect, and you can do it remotely.
Yeah.
From New York.
What'd they say? How'd the workers feel about that?
He's like, no way, no, no, no. But can you imagine if there's a stick on wheels with a screen with your boss's face on it?
They had that.
Yeah.
But no one wants to use it.
No one wants to use it, no.
So I think that's one of the, when they think about, like, how we're going to integrate these into the workplace, I don't know. Because I don't think workers are going to stand for it. The first thing that's going to happen is someone's going to knock it over and be like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Like,
face down.
Why am I looking at the carpet for 30 minutes? I don't know. And someone turned off your sound? I don't know.
Well, we have dad jokes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, God. See, you've heard of the dad joke?
No, what's the dad joke?
Dad joke is an unoriginal or unfunny joke of a type supposedly told by middle-aged or older men.
That was the Obama joke.
They're kind of.
Okay.
Kind of.
Corny, bad, not
corny
funny.
Corny and bad and not funny. Yeah, well, he is a dad.
That's true. Maybe that's why he's making those corny jokes.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between a dad joke and a bad joke.
Is there?
Even though sometimes they're one and the same.
Okay.
So, let's see. An example would be, hey.
Is this the joke?
Yeah.
Okay. Sell it.
Okay. Why do crabs never give to charity? Huh? Because they're shellfish. That's a bad joke. That's
a
bad joke.
Are you kidding me? That's not a joke. That's an insult.
That's just a bad
joke. That's an attack on my sensibilities is what that is.
Yeah. And then another one is the pool safe for diving? It depends. That's a dad joke.
Who is telling? I guess dads.
The distinction.
I didn't grow up with a dad around, so I guess I was spared.
Yes, the distinction is a true dad joke is provoked by his kid's behavior in question.
Okay.
No child, unless their parents were crabbers, would ever ask about crabs. You know, like you would never ask about it.
Okay, I'm from Maryland. I'm just looking at you because you said crabbers. Excuse me? I grew up eating crabs. I grew up with people who would catch crabs and then, you know, cook them and pick them. No!
All right, well, this is what they said.
Shoremen. Longshoremen.
Well,
crabbers?
Crabbers, yeah.
Crabbers.
Well, kids are constantly asking their parents shit they could find out for themselves. So that's where the dad joke comes in.
Crabberman? Yes, crabbers. All right.
All right, here's another dad joke. So they often make fun of their kids for being whiny and needy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kid says, hey, I'm hungry, dad.
Okay.
No.
That's not bad, is it? You're hungry.
No.
You bum.
I just ruined it.
Oh, you ruined the joke.
So the kid.
Yeah, how'd you ruin a dad joke? And it has two parts.
And they're both bad.
Okay.
The joke is like the kid says, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dad says, hi, hungry, I'm dad.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing jokes like this as a kid.
Dad, make me a sandwich. Dad says, poof, you're a sandwich.
Poof, you're a sandwich, yeah. I think my mom might have used some of these, but probably just because she was too lazy to cook and was untalented in the kitchen.
Yeah, the kid says, hey, I was thinking. The dad says, I thought I smelled something burning.
Oh. Did you hear any of these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is pull my finger on there, or is that outdated?
No,
that's an uncle joke.
That's an uncle joke.
An uncle or grandfather joke.
Yeah. How do you make a Kleenex dance? Put a little boogie in it.
Oh.
That's a dad joke.
That's terrible.
A ham sandwich walks into a bar and orders a beer. The bartender says, I'm sorry, we don't serve food here.
Oh.
Yeah. These are all dad jokes.
That's amazing. Yeah, my dad didn't have a sense of humor, and neither do these dads. I don't think I heard any of these jokes, really, when I was growing up. They're too corny.
They're...
It's too much.
I guess. I heard a dad joke from a priest. The first one I heard was in the second grade.
A priest related?
Yeah, a priest came into our classroom for some reason, and he had just gotten his hair cut. And someone said, "You got your hair cut." He goes, "I got all of them cut."
Oh.
And I stood there staring at him like...
Why? So dads and priests, no sense of humor?
Yeah. So the worst dad joke deliverer the internet has...
Is Obama.
It's Obama, but the next one is going to be George Clooney.
Really? Isn't he like 105?
Yeah, something
like that.
He's got
kids? I would think his kids would be as old as we are by now.
Mm. This is his first...
Really?
Yeah. And you know, because he's a prankster. Really? He loves to play pranks on people.
Okay. So, some of his films I would consider pranks.
Yes. So
on the viewing public.
When he has kids.
I didn't realize he's just having kids. Now, I'm so disconnected from what's going on with celebrities because I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I know he got married, but I also thought he was like 70.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
He's 55.
Okay. That's a little old to be having a kid, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Sure is.
Some old sperm.
That's old, and it's probably mutated.
Yes, by now.
At this point, it's a fact. After 40, yeah, then sperm mutates.
Sperm mutates.
And God knows what's going to happen.
Who knows what's going to happen? She seems fairly young, though.
She's,
right?
Yes.
I don't know.
She's in her 30s. Right?
Really? Okay, that's what they're saying. So I found something about bees. I thought this was interesting. It says slow learning bees are as successful as smart ones, and they live longer.
Same in humans.
Yes. Right? It says here, slow-learning bumblebees are just as successful. The question is that we assume that having a superior brain is better, or
well,
being
it's just
smarter
slow
is better.
Learning. You get there.
Yeah, they
it
get
just
there
takes
eventually.
No longer.
So what they did, this is a really intensive study. So basically, they went to a bumblebee colony. They divided it in half. One half, they gave access to what they call a flight arena. It's like a bee thunderdome where, mm-hmm. where bees go in. And there are fake flowers in there. And then the other bees actually get to go outside and do their thing. The queen bee, they rotated between the two groups so that it wouldn't devolve into, like, chaos.
Good.
Right? So they kept the integrity. So they said they put, and this is where I'm like, wow, these scientists really went for it. They put a color and a number on each bee. So they tagged each little bee.
Oh, no, they did not.
Yes.
Who had to do that?
I had no, probably interns. On each bee, and then they watched the bees as they headed into an artificial meadow of fake blue and yellow flowers.
That's really mean.
Yeah. So they said bumblebees have an innate preference for the color blue, so they go to the blue flowers if they can get to those first, but they'll go to the yellow ones as well.
You know, and people complain about the aliens coming down and doing
and messing with people.
Yeah.
So the fake blue flowers, which the bees would prefer because they're blue, didn't have any sugar in them. Only the yellow flowers had sugar. So they're trying to see if the bees would figure out that the blue flowers were bullshit and then go to the yellow flowers. So they got to bring some pollen back right. to the hive, right? So all of the bees eventually learned how to fly to the yellow flowers, but then they wanted to see how quickly they went to those flowers and how faithful they remained to the yellow flowers.
Oh, okay.
So it's a simple learning task, but they're looking for speed. So then they swapped the bees. The bees that were in the bee thunderdome, as I'm calling it, they let them go out into the wild. And they put little tiny microchip on them, on each little bee. So it's already been, like, colored and numbered. And now it has, like, a tiny microchip on it. And it tracks when they leave the colony and when they return. But they also weighed the bees to see when they were coming back how much pollen they had on them. Or if they just went out and had a meal and came back. So the upshot was that they learned there's no real difference between the slow-learning bees and the fast-learning bees. Everybody was able to bring back the amount of pollen that they were supposed to be bringing back. And also, but some bees didn't return at all. And they said they...
I wouldn't return after that. Once I figured out I've been schnookered,
yes,
I'm no way.
They were saying they assumed the bees died. I thought, they just fucked off. They're like, excuse me, I've got a number on my back, a color, and now there's like a little microchip. I'm out of here. This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
screw that. I'm not going back to Bee Thunderdome. Maybe they had a conversation with the other bees. They're like, dude, don't go in there. It's like, no, it'll be fine. It's like, don't. Just don't.
Yeah, look, we don't need another hero.
Yeah, we don't. We don't need another way home. So this is what they've been working on. They said that they were looking at the difference between city bees and country bees. So it's only important to be very smart and quick if you have to adapt to a new situation.
Okay.
But if you're just, I hate to say it, bumbling around.
Oh, you did not.
Out in the country doing your thing, it's not really that important. I think it's just funny that they put in here that says the problems that bees face are complicated.
Yeah.
It's hard out there for everybody.
Look, it's complicated.
It's complicated. They said we need to understand better how bees are using landscapes. We need to conserve the landscapes that bees that bees enjoy, and also conserve the pollination services that the bees provide free of charge.
Okay.
Like, that's not why they're doing it. You know what I mean? That the bees provide it free of charge. It's like, no. They're not doing it for you.
They're just being.
They're just doing it. They're just doing what they do. But the whole idea that, like, at some point, like, are they planning on charging? You know what I mean? Like, free of charge? Yeah. Oh my God. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they're like, F this. Yeah. I mean, you keep fucking with them like this and you see what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, God.
Little tiny. I can't imagine. Like,
how do you tag a bee?
Yeah, how do you even grasp a bee and then have it be still long enough for you to put a microchip on it? You're lucky they didn't sting everybody and die. That's what I would have done. I would be like, I'm going out.
This is why they're all leaving.
Yes.
This is because
it's
like,
stressful. Yeah. They're being experimented on. They're being forced to pollinate, you know, for free.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. I have no idea. All right, what do you have?
Okay.
Dad bod.
Oh, good.
Isn't there a dad bot?
Right?
A chubby robot with low testosterone?
Wait.
Dad bot. He likes wings and $4 pitchers.
Yes.
Dad bot. He won't stray. He'll raise anyone's kid.
Yeah. Short sleeve button up shirts.
Yes. Oh.
Dad bot.
That's the worst. Do they still make those? They should stop. There's nothing worse than a short sleeve button-up shirt. Yeah. It's got to end.
Well.
All right.